As I mentioned, that first reading is a vision, a prophetic vision. It starts out talking about the ancient one and how glory and power and majesty come from him and from the throne in which he is seated. Of course, we understand that to be God. But then, as I said, it follows with that vision of one like the Son of Man. And he receives dominion, glory, and kingship. Then it says, all peoples and nations and languages serve him. His kingship will never be destroyed. Looking back from the point of view of the New Testament, we know who that is. We know that it was a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ and that prophetic vision which happened more or less 2 centuries before the time of Christ. What is so important about that, though, is it's talking about the manifestation of glory. And we know that from that the Son of Man has a glory that is equal to God, that is God's glory. Now, the transfiguration, when Jesus is transfigured on the holy mountain, is sort of a bursting forth of that glory as Jesus walks on this earth. You know, normally, people could not see in Jesus the glory of God. But God permitted for that very short time, we don't know how long it was, that those three apostles could see the glory of God that had been hidden behind the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what was that all about? What was it for? Well, the tradition has always kind of felt that it was in a sense of preparation. Preparing those apostles for what was to come. Preparing them for the scandal of this person that they had learned to be teacher and Lord, to be crucified and die. It was, in a sense, an anticipation of the resurrection. It was a way of promising those three apostles that, yes, this Jesus who died is going to rise. And when he rises, it will be a glory like we saw on the Holy Mount. And so that, I think, is one of the roles for that transfiguration. It anticipates the resurrection. It prepares the apostles. But it also has a message for you and I. And it's important that we focus on that. That glory that those apostles saw on that holy mountain, as St. Peter refers to it in the second reading, is a glory that is also meant for you and I. We are meant to share that glory. I'm going to introduce a word that we don't commonly use today. But it was a word that was very much used in the first century of Christianity, especially by people in Eastern Europe. They called it deification. Now, it comes from the word deus, which in Latin was God. And it means, in a sense, to be made God. And those early Christians said, God became human so that we humans might become God. Now that may sound a little shocking, but it doesn't mean that we're going to become equal to God. It doesn't mean that we will be God. What it does mean, though, is God has become one of us so that we can begin to share in the very nature, the very life of God. That God wants to share his very self with us, his very being with us. And that was the purpose that he sent his Son to come among us, to become one of us, so that we could become one with God. To look at it another way, God lowers himself to take on our human nature so that he could elevate us to share his divine nature. And one of the things that is always a temptation for us in any religion is to think about religion as basically a moral system. The purpose of religion is to teach us morality. While morality is always a part of religion, that is not the main purpose of religion. Christianity is not just to teach us about what is right and wrong. It's not about just helping us to become good people. It is about bringing us to share in the very life of God. That is the central purpose of our faith. Jesus became one of us so that we could become sharers in the divine life. Think about some of the passages in the Gospel of St. John. He talks about how he and the Father would come to us and dwell within us. He talks about how his Spirit would become a fountain of life, bursting forth to eternal life. All of that beginning to tell us that the very purpose that Jesus came to us was to share his very self with us, to become, make us sharers in the divine nature. St. Paul uses a different phrase, and one that we actually heard in the opening prayer this morning. He talks about adoption. Now, we all know what adoption is on human terms, but St. Paul is saying that Jesus became one of us and has drawn us into unity with him through baptism so that we might receive our status as adopted sons and daughters of God. Another ancient saying has been, what Jesus was by nature, Son of God, we have become through adoption. We have become the adopted sons and daughters of God. And we know that an adopted child has all the rights of a natural child, a biological child. Again, St. Paul is trying to tell us about that intimate relationship that we are meant to have with God. That his very life, his very nature is to be shared by us. And that we are to get caught up in the life of God himself. The Transfiguration, as I said, was about revealing the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was an anticipation of the resurrection, but it also revealed the glory to which you and I are called. We are to share the glory of the only Son of God. That is our destiny in heaven, to become so much one with him that we share his very life. Now, the way that happens in this primarily is through hearing the Word of God, as the Gospel reading says, listening to him, and through the sacraments. That's what the sacraments are for. They are for to draw us ever more and more into this sharing of the life of God. And of course, outstanding among those is the Eucharist, where we receive the very body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, be more and more transformed into members of his life. To become more and more one with him so that we can share more fully his risen glory in the kingdom of our God. This also reveals to us the purpose of living morally good life. It's not the only reason Jesus came, but it does tell us that if we want to share in the divine nature, we have to begin living in the divine nature. I can't share the divine nature if I'm caught up in selfishness. If I'm caught up in evil, then I can't be a sharer in the divine nature. To share the divine nature I have to be striving to live according to the pattern that Jesus has set forth for us. And that is what our faith is all about. Living in such a way that we can live in union with Christ Jesus our Savior. Allowing Him to draw us ever more and more into the mystery of His life. So that one day we can share His glory forever in the kingdom of heaven.